Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Organic this, organic that. You're contemplating a vegetable garden this year, so why not go organic? Vaguely, it comes to mind that organic gardening means no chemicals are used. But really, what makes a garden organic? How do you keep pests and weeds away if you can't use pesticides and Roundup? Are fertilizers organic? If I don't know anything about gardening, I stick the plants in the ground and don't use chemicals, is that organic?
Organic gardening isn't that difficult as long as you know what to use and what to stay away from. Your vegetables and fruits may have a few cosmetic blemishes, but they'll be healthier for having been grown by you in your own backyard. Here to explain the basics of organic gardening is gardening expert Amy Jean Roy. She covers herb gardening for the how-to website about.com and has operated a family greenhouse business for the past 15 years. She's the author of Canning and Preserving for Dummies, now in its second edition. Welcome back to Take Care, Amy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we hear an awful lot about eating organic. What does it mean to grow an organic garden?
To grow an organic garden just means that you're not using any chemical products that you would have to be careful around or that you'd have to wash off or that would stick around in your fruits and vegetables even after washing them. It's just a safer way to garden.
So I assume that we're trying to keep away pests that want to take part in eating our garden, and that's where the chemicals are usually effective. So what are the alternative pesticides? Are there things that you can use to discourage the pests from bothering your garden that are also considered organic?
Yes, there are. First of all, a healthy garden wouldn't require a pesticide to begin with. That's kind of a big gun to a problem that started small. So I always recommend two things. Start with very healthy plants, and that goes back to choosing the healthiest plant that you have and starting extra seeds so that you can leave some of the weaker ones behind. And second of all, stay ahead of the insect problem by using your eyes. You're going to need to go to your garden at least twice a day, every day. And this sounds excessive, but we're talking just a careful walkthrough to look at all the plants. If one seems to have a lot of insect damage, take a look at what that damage might be. Maybe it's a single caterpillar or something, and you can hand pick it. Or if it seems to really have more trouble than the rest of the plants, then you'd be able to actually pull that plant right from the garden and just continue on with the other ones that haven't been affected.
What about soil preparation? I have heard the term amend the garden bed. Is there a lot that you have to add to the soil if you're going to prepare an organic garden so that the plants are in their best shape?
It's not so much a heavily weighted subject. You don't need to continuously add tons of things, but it just makes good sense to make sure that the soil is in its best shape ever because all gardens start from the soil. So an organic garden relies on not so much chemical fertilizers, but a rich, healthy soil that has plenty of organic material. And the word organic in this sense means stuff that actually breaks down like compost. And you always want to make sure that you apply or reapply, say, your organic mulches. You turn under your garden and make sure that everything that's in there is light and fluffy and you don't have a heavy clay soil or that kind of thing. So you can really get over the top and start adding tons and tons of things that aren't necessary.
Are there certain plants that are more likely to thrive in an organic garden than others?
I would say, in my experience, when I plant heirloom seeds and I apply a very good mulch layer and I keep everything stress-free by watering regularly, I can grow anything in my gardens.
Okay, that's you. What about the novice? Now, you're saying view your garden twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And what's intimidating about that to me when I hear it, it's not the time commitment. It's the knowledge base you have to have that you usually get from experience to know when something isn't right or to be able to know to take it out of the ground or to know what it is. Maybe it's something that you don't have to worry about. So what are some of the things that the novice gardener might want to avoid the first time out in their attempt to have an organic garden?
You know, that kind of a question, I am going to have to say, ask gardeners in your area. Different areas are affected by different insects. Here in northern Maine, for instance, last year we had so many potato beetles that we ended up not growing potatoes. Now, nothing else in the garden was affected, and by asking our neighbors, we found that that was a really big issue in my area. Now, I've gardened all over the country and never had trouble with the same exact types of plants in other areas. So right here, we have that kind of a problem. In Nebraska, we had a squash beetle problem. And this is where it comes into play, that you want to ask your neighbors and ask people that do garden, even at the hardware store, and find out what kind of problems they end up having and maybe avoid those plants altogether.
Are bugs like predators in the herd where, you know, they go after the weaker animals? I mean, is a bug going to attack and destroy an already healthy and robust plant, or does it go for a plant that's not thriving? I guess my question is two-part. If you have healthy plants, will bugs still attack them? And if bugs do attack them, how do you get rid of them if you're not using, you know, killer sprays?
Sure. Yes, bugs would, or insects would, attack a healthy plant, but generally, that's going to be when they're infesting all of the plants. When you go out in your garden and you're looking as a novice at your plants, are any of them stunted, twisted, perhaps not the same color as the rest? Take a closer look at those plants. Flip over the leaves. Look closely at the stems. You may find that there's just one, but there's insect damage, or there's an insect that has laid eggs, or that kind of thing. So yes, insects tend to go for the less healthy plants, and then when there become so many in the garden, they'll attack anything.
That's an interesting point you made earlier about the regional problems, and I guess, yeah, that the conditions of the environment that you're in really would play a role. What about ladybugs? I've heard that they actually sell, I don't know what the technical term, not bunches of ladybugs, cans of ladybugs. How do they help a garden?
That's a great question. Ladybugs are part of the beneficial insects, and beneficial insects are ones many times you see in your garden and you think, oh no, it's a wasp, or oh no, it's chewing on my plants. Actually, what it's doing is it's a predatory bug, and it's eating, say, the aphids that are there, and you definitely don't want aphids. So you can buy beneficial insects in a can. A lot of times you'll buy, they're live, of course, but a lot of times you'll buy an egg sack and have to put it out at a certain time of year. There's just a ton of really great things. You can plant things that are attractive to a beneficial insect, so they want to come to your garden. Those are all organic things that anyone can do.
Amy, I had one question, but I'm going to have to cut it short. So I'm going to ask if you can give us information that we'll put on our website. There is such a thing as interplanting plants with other plants to keep away the pests, right?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
And I would be happy to give you a list of things that you can plant that helps ward off bugs and also helps attract the beneficial insects that I was just talking about.
All right, and we'll have those on our website. Gardening expert Amy Jeanroy covers herb gardening for the how-to website about.com, and she's the author of Canning and Preserving for Dummies, now in its second edition. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
For more on organic gardening and Amy Jeanroy, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org. Amy will be back in June to give us tips on planting a garden with vegetables and fruits that are ideal for canning.
On next week's show, throat cancer, mouth cancer, both fall under the category of head and neck cancers. We know that alcohol and tobacco are bad for us, but what else should you avoid to reduce your risk? Plus, on our featured Debunker to Truth, a neuroscientist explains whether or not a song can actually get stuck in your head.
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on the WRVO website. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.